Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 4 of season 2 of NFL Insights, hosted by my main man, Brennan Rampey. You can follow him on Twitter at PhD in NFL, and I super suggest that you start watching the column that he contributes to on QBList.com, as my man is 11-4 against the spread so far this season, and you're missing out on free money. But without further ado, let's go to the first game on our week 4 matchup, and this one might be a little closer than expected based on some late-breaking injury news. Let's go to MetLife Stadium, where the 2-1 Titans will be taking on the 0-3 Jets. Brennan?
So yeah, the Titans are going to be without their top two wide receivers in this game, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. They will both miss the game with a hamstring injury. The Jets had their first game was really close against the Panthers, 19-14, but then suffered blowout losses to the Patriots and Broncos with rookie quarterback Zach Wilson really struggling, but there just could be an upset here. I'm still going to pick the Titans, though, even though they're without their top two wide receivers. They'll have to rely on guys like Nick Westbrook, Akina, Chester Rogers, and Josh Reynolds at wide receiver, who aren't exactly household names, but they're going to have to step up big time. And Titans still have Derrick Henry, so it's possible that I think this game will be a low-scoring game, but I still think the Titans will win, but I won't be surprised if the Jets pull off an upset here.
All right, let's go to Philadelphia. Hopefully for Chiefs Nation, this is a get-right game for the Chiefs. They come into Philly with a 1-2 record, the same as Philly.
Yep, this is also Andy Reid traveling to Philadelphia to face his former team, the Eagles, who he coached for many, many, many years. And yes, both 1-2. The Chiefs have really struggled on defense. They're giving up about 30 points per game. Meanwhile, it's been mostly the offense that's been struggling for the Eagles after their week one win. I think I like the Chiefs here because I don't think they're going to lose 3 games in a row. I don't think that's happened so far in the Patrick Mahomes era, and I don't think it's going to happen. The Eagles defense got annihilated by the Cowboys, and the Chiefs offense is just as talented as the Cowboys offense, if not better. So I think I'm going to take the Chiefs on the road to win.
All right, let's go down to Dallas, where this looks like the marquee matchup of the 1 o'clock slate. We have the 3-0 Panthers, yes, you heard that correctly, at the 2-1 Cowboys. What do you see?
Yes, this is definitely the best game in the 1 o'clock slate of games, for sure. The Panthers have started off 3-0, which a lot of people expected because of their first 3 games. They took on 2 rookie quarterbacks with the Jets and the Texans, Zach Wilson and Davis Mills, respectively. And then they were able to beat the Saints, where bad Jameis Winston showed up for the first and only time this season so far. And the Cowboys have started off really impressive, too. Despite being 2-1 and not undefeated, they gave the Buccaneers everything they could handle week one. Then they were able to upset the Chargers and then destroyed the Eagles. The Panthers have a lot more of a rest advantage, but they are pretty banged up, though. First-round pick cornerback J.C. Horn will be out 2 to 3 months with a broken foot, but they did make a huge trade by trading for 2020 Jaguars first-round pick C.J. Henderson, who is a cornerback, and that could be a really great addition to the defense for years to come. But they're also going to be without fantastic running back Christian McCaffrey with a hamstring injury. McCaffrey isn't going to be placed on IR, so that's a good sign that he should be back soon, but he's not going to play in this game. The Panthers' defense is really good so far, and I think it'll perform a lot better than the Eagles' defense against this Cowboys offense, but I still think that this Cowboys team is definitely the best opponent the Panthers have played by far. And due to also being on the road, I think the Cowboys are gonna give the Panthers their first loss. I think I'm gonna take them to win.
All right, and anytime I see Giants, I automatically think lock of the week. We are going to go to New Orleans, where the 0-3 Giants are going to be at the 2-1 Saints.
Not lock of the week yet. A couple more games later from now. Yeah, I picked the Giants to win for the first time last week, and that was something I regretted doing because they lost on a last-second field goal. The offense really isn't performing well so far this this year so far, with the exception of their week two game versus the Washington football team. And the defense can't make stops when it matters the most. And also, speaking of defense, they lost linebacker Blake Martinez for the year to a torn ACL, which is really going to hurt them going forward. And the Saints have been up and down this season, but mostly they've been performing well. Weeks 1 and 3, they've gotten wins over the Packers and Patriots. The defense has been pretty great in all of the games this year, and Jameis Winston has been able to play mistake-free football for the most part, with the exception of their week 2 loss to the Panthers. The Saints' first game against the Packers was supposed to be at home in New Orleans, but due to Hurricane Ida complications, that had to be played in a neutral site in Jacksonville. But this will be the Saints' first home game in front of their fans, who are very loud, and they've been waiting a long time for this, I'm sure. And the Giants have really struggled this year, and the Saints have been pretty good so far in the post-Drew Brees era in this first year with Jameis Winston. So I think the good Jameis Winston shows up again, and I think the Saints win this one.
All right, let's go to your team. You got the 2-1 Browns and former coach Kevin Stefanski coming to town to take on your Vikes. You think Zimmer's familiarity with Stefanski gives the Vikings any advantage, or?
I'm not so sure about that. The Vikings did get an upset win over the Seahawks on Sunday, which was awesome. The fans were back, and it was a great thing to watch. Even though they were down early, they managed to come back and beat the Seahawks. And the Browns started off 2-1. They gave the Chiefs everything they could handle. That was their first loss, but it was very close. Then they were able to take care of the Texans and Bears. And this should probably be a good game in the 1 o'clock area, and probably the rest of, probably the entire week. I think it's going to be a shootout, and I think I'm going to take the Browns here, because I think they have the better defense than the Vikings do, despite all of the additions the Vikings made in the offseason. It hasn't been all that great, except for the week 3 performance. So yeah, I'm going to take the Browns in a shootout, and yeah.
Okay, let's go to Soldier Field, where if you are having trouble sleeping, we suggest you tune into this game, where the 0-3 Lions will be at the 1-2 Bears. Brennan, break down this absolute suckfest.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be a really low scoring affair, a really low scoring game. The Bears have really struggled on offense pretty much all of the Matt Nagy era, and especially this season. They haven't been able to score a lot at all. Their one win against the Bengals, they had to rely on a pick six touchdown. Without that, they would be 0-3 themselves, much like their divisional opponent, the Lions. We know the Lions are in total rebuild mode, and there has been improvement each and every week. And they almost beat the Ravens, if not for Justin Tucker kicking the longest field goal in NFL history. And this is going to be a really close one. We have no idea who the Bears' starting quarterback will be. It will be a game-time decision. I'm gonna assume that it's Justin Fields, and if so, this will be the first rookie quarterback the Lions' defense has faced. They were able to contain Lamar Jackson for the most part. And even though I really have no idea how this game is going to play out, it wouldn't surprise me if either team won, but I think I'm actually going to go ahead and take the Lions here.
All right, you have it. There you heard it, folks. All right, let's go to Buffalo, where the 1-2 Texans will roll in to take on the 2-1 Bills, and this seems to be a mismatch on paper.
Yep, it's the lock of the week for me. The Bills have been performing great so far this season. After that opening loss to the Steelers, the offense has been great, and the defense has been just as good. The Texans were able to surprise with a week 1 win versus the Jaguars, but it's been 2 straight losses. They lost to the Browns, where they played pretty well for the most part, kept it close. And then week 3, they played the Panthers, where rookie quarterback Davis Mills had his first career start, and he struggled somewhat in that game. And even though the Texans have a rest advantage from playing on Thursday, I still think it's going to be a Bills blowout. Josh Allen annihilated the Washington football team defense, which was really hyped up coming into this season, and he absolutely destroyed it. And the Texans have a lot less talent on their defense than the Washington football team does. So I think the Bills offense is going to roll, and the defense, who is facing a rookie quarterback for the first time, should dominate. The Bills should win this one by a lot.
Okay, let's head down to Miami for yet another lackluster matchup in the 1 o'clock slate. We have the 0-3 Colts coming into Miami to take on the 1-2 Dolphins. Take it away, Bren.
I think this will be another low-scoring game. The Dolphins got an impressive win against the Patriots week one, where Tua Tagovailoa played in that game. But then against the Bills, he injured his ribs, and Jacoby Brissett had to fill in for the remainder of that game. Then they played the Raiders, where Brissett got the start and was very impressive, but they lost in overtime. Meanwhile, the Colts have been 0-3. They have had a really hard start to their season schedule-wise, and this will probably be the easiest opponent they've played so far, despite the Dolphins being pretty talented. But being without Tua Tagovailoa might hurt, even though Brissett has played well the past couple of weeks. I think it'll be low scoring, but I think I'll take the Colts to win this one. They've been really close the past couple of weeks, and I think they're due to win eventually.
Okay, let's round out this underwhelming 1 p.m. slate with the 1-2 Washington football team at the 1-2 Atlanta Falcons.
Probably another low-scoring game. The Washington football team defense has struggled a lot through the past 3 weeks, especially against the Bills, where they gave up over 40 points, with the offense being pretty mediocre too, with quarterback Taylor Heinicke being the starter after Ryan Fitzpatrick injured his hip week one. And he's been mostly okay. He's put them in positions to win he's given them the opportunities to win games for the most part. They came up a little short against the Chargers, and then they were able to beat the Giants miraculously. And his performance against the Bills, not so great. But the Falcons aren't as great as the Bills on offense, despite getting their first win on Sunday against the Giants. I'm going to take the Falcons here. I think that first win will give them a lot of momentum going forward. Since they got one win, more should follow, hopefully. I think it'll be a defensive kind of game, but I think the Falcons will win.
Okay, thankfully we're putting that 1 o'clock slate to bed, because every game on the 4 o'clock slate looks at least a little interesting. We'll start off with the 1-2 Seahawks at San Fran to take on the 2-1 Niners.
I sure do love the NFC West this season. I think everyone does. All of the teams look like they could make the playoffs, except for the Seahawks, maybe. They're starting off 1-2, which isn't great, because their opponent, the 49ers, are 2-1. Who came so close to beating the Packers, by the way. And both the Cardinals and Rams are 3-0. And the Seahawks can't afford to fall behind anymore, because they could potentially lose the playoffs. And if they're not careful, they could lose Russell Wilson to another team, because we knew about that drama in the offseason. And losing games and losing out on the playoffs entirely could really fracture that relationship. I still think I'm going to take them, though, because the 49ers defense really struggled against the Packers, and even though they almost won, the defense couldn't stop them when it mattered most, especially with 30 seconds left to go in the game. The Seahawks have great wide receivers, too, and Russell Wilson has never lost 3 straight games in his career, and I don't think he's going to let that happen, so I'm going to take the Seahawks here, but they're going to be in trouble if they lose this one.
Okay, I know a lot of people are looking forward most to Bucks-Patriots, but for me, this next game is the game of the week. We have the 3-0 Cardinals going to L.A. to take on the 3-0 Rams. I'm real excited to see this game. What do you see happening here?
Yeah, this is my game of the week, even though Buccaneers versus Patriots is what's getting all of the attention. The Rams have started off 3-0 and are really looking like Super Bowl contenders, especially after beating the Buccaneers. Matthew Stafford's looking like a big upgrade over Jared Goff. That trade's working out pretty well so far throughout 3 weeks, and this is definitely the most talented Cardinals team in the Kyler Murray, Cliff Kingsbury era. They've scored 30 points in every game, and the defense is making plays when it matters. That being said, though, Sean McVay is 8-0 against the Cardinals as Rams head coach, and that was with Jared Goff through every year since he got there in 2017. And Stafford's definitely an upgrade, and even though this is the most talented Cardinals team he's coached against, I still think I'm going to take the Rams here, but I think it'll be a thriller, though.
You see a shootout, high scoring affair?
I think so.
All right, let's go to Lambeau, where the struggling 1-2 Steelers will be at the reborn 2-1 Packers. And what do you say about Ben Roethlisberger? He's looking kind of dunzo to me.
Yeah, he has not really looked good at all through the past 3 weeks. He looks like the version that struggled near the end of the 2020 regular season through the versus what we saw through like the first half of 2020. Ben Roethlisberger, he's throwing the ball way too much. I don't think there's a good run pass balance, and he's throwing a lot of interceptions. It's the defense and special teams that were able to get them their week one win against the Bills, and they couldn't beat the Bengals at home. They're not gonna, I don't think they'll be able to beat the Packers on the road. That seems very unlikely to me. The Packers got that get right game against the Lions week two after getting destroyed by the Saints, and then they were able to have a very impressive road win against the 49ers. So now that they're at home again, I think I'm going to take the Packers to win this one. The defense should have a dominant performance despite struggling for most of this season, and the offense should have another. It wouldn't surprise me if they had another 30-point game.
We got some late-breaking bad injury news for the Packers right before recording this, too. Did you want to share that?
Oh, yeah. Za'Darius Smith, linebacker Za'Darius Smith, one of their best players on defense, him and Jair Alexander. They're the best players on that defense. He's going to be out indefinitely after back surgery. They thought he would come back soon, maybe in 3 to 4 weeks, but that seems unlikely now. That might be something that hurts them later on. Maybe. We'll see.
All right, let's go to the Mile High City, where the 2-1 Ravens will be coming in to take on the undefeated Broncos. But this game features a big upgrade in opponent for the Broncos.
Yeah, the Broncos have started off 3-0. A lot of people thought that would happen because they played the Giants, Jets, and Jaguars. Two of those teams had rookie quarterbacks. And they're 3-0, but no one's impressed, myself included, because anyone could start off 3-0 with that schedule. And they're going to be playing their first real opponent in the Ravens, despite all of the injuries suffered before the season even started. This team has played very well, and they're 2-1, which is a little surprising to me. They almost beat the Raiders in Las Vegas, but lost in overtime. Then a thrilling win against the Chiefs, and then Justin Tucker, their kicker, kicks the longest field goal in NFL history. Every single game is an absolute thriller with them. So I can't imagine the stress of being a Ravens fan for these past 3 weeks. It must be something else. Anyway, yeah, this is a big increase in difficulty for the Broncos. Lamar Jackson isn't a rookie quarterback. He's a really young, exciting quarterback who I think is one of the most exciting to watch, and a really good quarterback who is probably going to get a contract extension sooner rather than later. He's got great dual threat ability, and the Ravens just activated first round pick wide receiver Rashad Bateman off of IR. They've been having some success throwing the football, but I think it's going to be even better now with the return of Rashad Bateman as well as wide receiver Miles Boykin. I think it will be a hard fought game, but I think the Ravens are going to win this one on the road.
All right, and let's go to the Sunday night matchup that everybody is crazy about, where we have Tom Brady at the helm of the 2-1 Buccaneers returning to Gillette Stadium, where, of course, he was so successful for all those years to take on the 1-2 Patriots.
Yes, this is the game people are talking about the most, even though I don't think it's the best matchup. The Buccaneers lost their first game to the Rams, where the defense, particularly the secondary, really struggled, and the Patriots, they knew there would be some struggles drafting a rookie quarterback, Mac Jones. Even though he was really good at Alabama, he's had some struggles to the NFL he struggled the most in week three. He played really well the first 2 weeks, but then looked like a rookie against the Saints, where he threw three interceptions, including a pick six. The wide receiver position is really something that's been struggling. That's something they've failed to address for multiple years now. Maybe that's one of the reasons why Tom Brady ended up leaving, because they could never fix their wide receiver problems, even still to this day. And they've spent a lot of money on defense, which is mostly paid off, but I think it's the offense that is the reason why they're 1-2. The Buccaneers defense has struggled, but now they're facing a rookie quarterback for the first time. And they just signed free agent cornerback Richard Sherman this week, who was the top free agent available, and he should provide a big boost to that defense. And even though no one knows Tom Brady more than Bill Belichick when it comes to like game planning, the Buccaneers have way better talent at the skill position than the Patriots do. And I think even though a lot of people are really excited about this game because of Tom Brady's return to New England, I don't think it'll be all that great of a matchup. Maybe. We'll see. But I'm going to take the Buccaneers to win.
You like them big?
I don't know about big, but probably by a touchdown.
All right, and then we have another good one on Monday night where the surprising and very fun to watch 3-0 Las Vegas Raiders will be at the 2-1 Chargers. What do you see going on here?
I think this is going to be a really fun one. The Raiders have definitely surprised at 3-0, beating the Ravens and Steelers, which was impressive, and then having a wild overtime win against the Dolphins, while the Chargers have started off 2-1 themselves. They're also very impressive, if not for weird illegal shift penalties against the Cowboys. I think that's the reason why they lost, because of weird penalties. They could have been 3-0 themselves, but that's not the case, although they rebounded from that Cowboys loss to a great Week 3 win over the Chiefs, which was really impressive, where the defense had 4 turnovers and Justin Herbert had 4 touchdown passes. Both of these teams are looking really good, but I think I'm going to go with the Chargers here because they're at home, and I think that their defense is better than the Raiders. I think it'll be a shootout, but I think I'll take the Chargers to prevail.
And there you have it, folks. That is the Week 4 schedule broken down by Brennan. I might have forgotten to mention he was 9-6 last week, so we'll see if he can do better than that. As I said, don't forget to follow him on Twitter at PhDinNFL. Make sure you read all the content over at QBList.com, not just the column that Brennan contributes to. Although, once again, I will mention that he is 11-4 against the spread, and you're basically costing yourself money by not reading it. Also, don't forget to visit us at anchor.fm. You can see all the prior episodes, and you can also send Brennan a voice message. And if you do, he will feature it on the show. Once again, thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.